The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Ready for God's word. Have your seat. Glory to God. Amen. So, we're back to our classroom. Amen. So, back to our classroom. On Oikos. Amen. So, Oikos. The house of God. The house of God. Amen. And we've been able to. How was yesterday? Were you blessed? Were you blessed? I was trying to show us yesterday that in the house of God, angels are running around. Angels are in operation. Angels are ascending and descending. In the house of God. Angels are ascending and descending in the house of God. And we are the house of God. And what this simply means is that wherever you are, there is angelic activity around the believer. There is angelic activity. And one of the things this is supposed to do for you is supposed to bring you to an awareness. You know, I had not really learned any of these things I'm teaching you from God's word before God began to show me this. I was praying one day, I was praying for 3 days. I was very young as a Christian. I think that was 2006 or so. Either 2006 or 2007. I was praying. After praying, the Lord opened my eyes. And how I got it, He said, there are more angels available for you now. And I saw that literally, a mind-blowing number of angels around me. You know, and that was a beautiful sight. I have not actually seen it in the Bible. You know, when I started up as a Christian, we didn't have many teachers of the word, as it were, who were teaching us all of this. You know, but then the Lord said that to me. He said, I have increased the number of angels that walk with you at this moment. And I had a vision that day that I can't forget. I had a vision of how the realm of the spirit looks like and where the battles that go on in the realm of the spirit. And I saw that day. How that every day, every moment, you are going through one battle or another. You know, you have to realize the devil wants to take your life. Are you aware? Are you aware? At every point. Forget. It's just like my spiritual father will always say, when somebody comes to you and says, the devil is after your life, thus says the Lord. You look at the person and say, thus says the Lord, the devil is after your life too. He's after all our lives. Satan wants, at every point in your life, there's a spiritual battle going on. And I can't forget the picture I saw that in the spirit, how that there were battles like it was a physical combat. And I was walking that day, and all around me, battles were going on. But there were angels waiting those battles off. And the scripture that came to heart was, 1,000 shall fall at your side. 10,000 at your right said, they shall not come near you. He said, only with your eyes shall you behold the reward of the wicked. Every Christian, there are battles going on. At every time. And this is one of the reasons why there is need for you to understand and appreciate angelic activity. Because again, you will learn as we progress that if you don't appreciate and begin to engage this angelic ministry, you will not have results. They will not work for you. Amen. So there is angelic activity around me. So everywhere I am, I have that consciousness. That angels are around. I'm telling you, I carry it everywhere I go. I have that consciousness that I'm working with angels. Angels are operating. Even when I go for meetings, I tell you, I see the teachers in the spirit. In the light, I climb the stage to preach. What I see in the spirit is angels scattered all over the crowd every time. Because this is the house of God. Anything I want to do at the moment, angels will be around to run errands. Amen. So God has to open your eyes to see. Amen. Every time I just see it, angelic activity all over. See, even as you are seated here now, you are not alone actually. Are you what I'm saying? Apart from the fact that God lives inside of you, angels are available and serving and working for you. And you know one of the things the Lord said to me when I was praying about this meeting, and I pray we'll get to that today. We have actually limited to a very large extent the ministry of angels. So every time we talk about angels, the primary thing that comes to our mind is security, safety, deliverance. That's that. But I can tell you, angels can do a lot more than you think. I will touch it today. It was an angel that went to announce the birth of Jesus. So an angel can actually go and announce your ministry. What opened the ministry, Peter's ministry? What opened him up to the Gentiles? An angel went to a Gentile and told him to go and call Peter. So as a minister, an angel can go to a particular man of God and say, go and invite this person. You know, I was saying this at LMP. That's what some of you have to realize. Talking about ministry now. Okay? You see, ministry relationship must not always come by PR and connection and wisdom in your own eyes. There is God's divine connection orchestrated by God himself. Angelic beings. It was an angel. No, but Peter didn't print flyer and send email to Cornelius say, I'm a great man of God. Have you heard me preach? If I come, you'll be blessed. Nothing. An angel went and told Cornelius, there is a certain man called Peter. Go and call for him. When Saul, the apostle, you know, the murderer at the time, was in the house of a certain man, it was an angel, it was by a vision and by God's hand that Ananias got to know. I'm trying to show you that angels can work out divine orchestrations. I will touch that a little today. I follow what I'm saying. It was an angel that went, go call him. Do you know what that means? It means even in your business, angels can do publicity for you. So that's why you hear things like, because sometimes they may not see those angels. You hear things like, I don't even know what has been disturbing me, or why I've been having this pressure in my heart to patronize you and to buy things from you. Those things can happen. So we don't just limit angelic ministry to deliverance. Although it's one major thing they do, but there is a lot more. There's a lot more. We saw the ministry of Jesus yesterday, remember? How that at every point in his life, there was no point in Jesus' life that there was no strong angelic presence. At every point. Even after his temptation, the Bible said an angel came and strengthened him. Do you know, I didn't show you that, when he was at Gethsemane and he was praying, after he prayed, Luke chapter 22, an angel came and strengthened him. So there was a strengthening actually that Jesus received from an angel that helped him to carry the cross. Because remember he was praying in Luke 22, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me and all of that. And the Bible said after he prayed, an angel came and strengthened him. So at every point in Jesus' ministry, and that is already giving you a point, an idea of what the life of the believer looks like. How that at every point, you are never alone. You are never alone. And let that comfort someone this morning. This afternoon. Say, I'm not alone. Did you guys forget your voice at home this morning or this afternoon? Was the prayer too long? Was the prayer too long? There appeared an angel from heaven, that's Luke 22:43, strengthening him. So an angel, after he had prayed in Gethsemane, an angel came and strengthened him. So, you know, it means that if you're at that point where Jesus was, where he wanted to go to the cross, but the journey was too tough, he was actually scared, he was praying, if it is, let this pass over me. One of the things that will attend to you as a believer is the ministry of angels. I get what I'm saying. Let's look at something. Let's look at angelic ministry. Let's proceed from there in the life of the believer. Because remember, I was stopped yesterday looking at angelic ministry to Christ in his incarnation. So the believer, let me start from somewhere. Hebrews 12:22. Read with me, everybody. Come on, what's wrong with you? Start again. and to an innumerable. So the believer has come to angels. You know, I said that yesterday. We have come to an innumerable company of angels. Hebrews 1:14 tells us, are they not, talking about angels, ministering spirits, sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation? So angels are sent to serve the believer. Angels are sent to attend to the believer. Angels are sent, again I say, to serve and attend to the believer. So when you hear me describe how powerful angels are, they are sent primarily to attend to you. Are they not all ministering spirits? Put up like NLT. NLT said they are serving spirits. Servant spirits. Angels are only servant spirits sent to care for people who inherit salvation. So angels are sent to care. So imagine how powerful, how big, how enormous those beings are. Yet they are all servant spirits sent to serve you. Amen. Sent to serve you. Sent to care for those who will inherit salvation. Say, angels are working for me. Psalm 91 and verse 11. Jesus quoted this one to Jesus. Now Psalm 91 verse 11 said, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep thee in all thy ways. Verse 12. They shall bear thee up in their hand, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. So angels, so Satan was telling Jesus in his temptation, this is what the Bible actually said. So he understands. So he said, they shall bear you up in their hands. They will carry you. Put up NLT, New Living Translation, verse 11. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. So angels are ordered to attend to the believer. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. So you have to bear that in mind, that angels are sent to serve believers. See, in my note I said, this is why they are made in the nature. You know, I was describing the nature of angels to you yesterday. They are made strong. They are mighty. They are swift. They can take on any form and all of that. All of those things, they were made that way so that they can attend to the believer in Christ. That's why in what I was teaching on the sons of God, I think that was the last teaching on sonship. I showed you the reason, if you read the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. Remember that? A little lower than the angels. And I was trying to explain that to you. A little lower than the angels doesn't mean that angels are bigger than Jesus. They've never been, they will never be. But he was made a little lower than the angels. How? When he took on flesh. In taking on flesh, he became a little lower than the angels in his nature. For instance, we as men, we are in a sense a little lower than the angels because, of course, they are stronger, they are mightier, they are, you know, that kind of thing. They have strength. So we are a little lower than them. But in authority, we are actually higher than them. So they are made with all the strength they were made with so that they can be able to attend to you. Because if they are at the same level of your strength, they can't attend to you, they can't help you. You get the point? If they are as natural, as physical and what have you as you are, they can't help you. So they were made in that way so that they can attend to you. So you have a son who has never handled a gun, a pistol in his life, has never shot. He doesn't even know. He's actually a very fearful boy. And now you give him men who are trained in combat, who are trained to shoot gun, who are trained to use explosives, who are trained with all those things. So in a sense, he's a little lower than them because they are more equipped and more trained than him. But in authority, they are sent to protect him. I agree what I'm talking about. So they are serving spirits, powerful they may be, but then sent to serve and to care for you who will inherit salvation. Are you still here this morning? So angels are servant spirits, serving spirits, ministering spirits, sent to minister to those that shall inherit salvation. So again, what I said, they are sent to serve believers. times that are in their form. Let's proceed. 103 verse 20. Psalm 103 and verse 20. I'm coming to all of this later. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his command. Verse 21. Bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasures. Angels do the pleasure of God. They are attend to go to Psalm 104, verse 4. And of course, the pleasure of God is to protect you and all of that. So 104 and verse 4. He said, he makes his angels spirits. That's what you quoted in Hebrew. And his ministers a flame of fire. So let me even say, I've explained this, let me explain it again. Please, you are not a flame of fire. At least not in this verse. All these are, he makes his angels wings, and his ministers flame of fire. I'm a flame of fire. In the early days of our ministry, not church, we did a flyer, a sticker like that. You know stickers? We did, he makes his angels wings, and his servants, ministers, flame of fire. I'm on fire for God. That's wrong, go. Amen. His angels are his ministers. Talking about the same people. He made them flame of fire. So I don't think the believer should be too excited about being flame of fire. Because the flame of fire you want to be was actually made to protect you and to serve you. So angels are made flames of fire so that they can look after the believer. That they can make sure nothing actually comes close to devour the believer. Are you still here? Glory to God. Are you learning something? Are you getting blessed? And so angels are made flames of fire so they can serve and protect you. So angels are sent to care for the believer. In fact, let me add this. I wanted to say it later, but let me talk about it now. Even at death, angels still care and protect the believer even at death. They care for him. You know, when Jesus gave the parable of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16 and verse 22, the Bible tells us that when Lazarus died, angels carried him. Angels carried him. Luke 16 verse 22. Angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. So even at death, okay, angels were still attending to Lazarus. Look at that. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So one died, was buried. You get the point? The other one died. Angels attended to him even at death and carried him to wherever he was going to. So you observe that even when the believer dies, I mentioned that to you yesterday, Jude verse 9, even when the believer dies, angels still run errands around him, even though he's no longer alive. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Does not bring action, you know, against him, but say the Lord rebuked him. So he tells you, Michael was contending with the devil over Moses' body. This is a dead man at the time. Are you what I'm saying? But then they are sent to care for the believer. So you notice the care of angels for the believer is something that they will do forever. This is why, as I present on this thing of angels, I want to please make this very clear. Angels are not to be worshipped. They are not to be worshipped. They are not to be prayed to. You don't worship angels. You don't pray to them. Are you listening to what I'm talking about? Are you following me? I listened to someone pray sometime and began to pray. Oh, Angel Michael, come to our rescue. Angel Gabriel, come to Angel Raphael, Angel Uriel. Well, as a matter of fact, there are only two angels, or can I say three, that are names you are given in the Bible. Michael, Gabriel, and the other one, Lucifer. Angel Raphael is not in the Bible. Uriel is not in the Bible. Are you following me? Zadinophel. Yeah, I know some of those names. So it's not in the Bible. Amen. There are an innumerable company of angels. Yet in the entire Bible, only 2-3 names appeared. And those names were even fading. I don't have time to go into that today. For instance, what a guy we call Michael. That name, Michael, it simply means who is like God. That's what it means. So, angel, Michael, who is like God. He stands, that's an archangel as we call him. There are a lot of angels. There are angels introduced themselves in many ways. For instance, in the book of Joshua, one of the angels introduced himself as the commander of the Lord's army. But they never bothered to tell you, my name is this. Do you know what that tells you? We don't need to know their names. Because you don't need to pray to angels. There's this thing people teach all over the place. This doctrine of guardian angel stuff. And they say everybody has a guardian angel. And you need to know the name of your guardian angel. Are you following what I'm talking about? As a matter of fact, there is only one place in the Bible that looked like it even said, looked like it implied that guardian angel theology. It looked like. That was where Jesus said that children, that their angels are always before the presence of the Father. That's the only place. Who told you there's one angel, there are guardian angels? Now, I'm not saying angels are not attending to you. I told the angels, walk with me. Walk with every ministry. But the way they teach those things is that you have a guardian angel and you have to know his name. I've not been in that sect, but I've had to counsel some of them. Very early, I didn't know much. And all these guys will be praying to find out, Father, those days when you get born again, they say you have to pray to be filled with the Holy Ghost. After that, ask God to tell you your ministry. But before that, ask God to tell you the name of your guardian angel. And these people, all of them, know the names of their guardian angels. One said, Uriel is guardian. Another one said, Raphael. But I said, I know 5 people that angel Uriel is guarding. So how come he's guarding you and guarding? I say, but our angels, I said, angels are not omnipresent. They're not like God. They're not everywhere. One angel is one place at a time. So how did God tell you Raphael is guarding you and Raphael is guarding this one, Raphael is guarding this one? You don't need all those information. Are you what I'm talking about? Yes, they are swift in their move. They can be one place at this point, and the next minute they are even in the UK. But then they are at least one place at a time. Don't you realize even Lucifer, the devil, is not omnipresent. Satan is not everywhere. Are you what I'm saying? No, it's not everywhere. Satan works with demons who walk around. Jesus, God saw Satan in the book of Job and said, where have you been? He said, I've been moving to and fro. He's not everywhere. Do you know what I'm talking about? So Satan is not actually in this building now as I'm talking to you. He's not. I swear. He's not here. Are you know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to show you that idea of God is actually angelic worship. I listened to a woman pray in a vehicle while traveling. At a time I felt we were already invoking demons, but that's what we're doing in that car. She started with the names of angels. Aina Akwaku. Monkey angel Raphael the asshole. Monk, he was calling angel angels. Ah, this is prayer. Everyone was shouting, amen, amen. You know, when she finished, she moved into cents. She called on cents. She called more than 30 cents to come and travel with us on that journey. Ah, Saint Peter, Saint this, Saint Thomas, Saint. Everybody was a saint. You know, that angelic worship. So when you hear me talk about angels and how powerful they are, well, I'm not advocating for angelic worship. It is not, it's idolatry. You know what idolatry is? Idolatry, actually, one of the ways it's described in the Bible, worshipping the creation instead of the creator. I showed you the angels are created beings. Remember I told you that yesterday? They are created. You can't be worshipping a creation and leave the creator. Colossians 2 verse 16. Let's start from 16. Colossians 2 verse 16. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. Hallelujah. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body, that's the realities of Christ. Verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen. Vainly puffed up. Put up like energy of this verse. Please help me to watch this verse. New Living Translation, please. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. I have not seen that in our generation now. So an angel appeared to me. So people literally worship angels in certain places. Literally. Angels attended to Jesus. But not once in the prayer of Jesus did he mention them. He doesn't even talk about them. The only place he spoke about them, just a few places. In his teaching ministry, he would teach about angels. He told them that these children, their angels are beholding the presence of the Father. He spoke about them. And then when he was going to the cross, he told them, I can pray to my Father and 8,000 angels will come. 12 years of angels. Go read all the prayers of Jesus. Even the one you call our Lord's Prayer, he didn't pray to angels. Even the high priestly ministry of Jesus, that's the high priestly prayer rather of Jesus. That's where you go to John 17. Yeah, John 17 particularly. When he was praying for the church, he never prayed to angels. But then you read throughout his ministry, angels were attending to him. But not once did he pray to them or mention them. So we must be very careful not to get into angelic worship. Because whether you are worshipping angels or you are worshipping stone, you are an idol worshiper. All of them are creations of God that should not be worshipped. Are you following what I'm talking about, friends? All of them are creations of God that should not be worshipped. And let me even say, people that pray to saints, that's still idol worship. Because the saint you are praying to is a human being too that has died. You are still praying to a creation of God and not the creator. Are you what I'm talking about here? Be very careful. Never be in a situation and you say, I call on angels to come. Please don't do that. Pray to God. I will show you. The Bible tells us, angels hearken to the voice of the word of the Lord. So when you pray to God, we will still teach you how to engage angelic ministry. And by the time I show you, you will see that there is nothing about praying to an angel in engaging angelic ministry. To start with, let me tell you why you don't pray to an angel. To start with, angels don't take authority by themselves. They act on the authority of God. Are you what I'm talking about? So they are men under, they are beings under authority. So why are you praying to them? Why not talk to the one that can give them instructions and they obey? Are you what I'm talking about? So please, angelic worship is something, put up like I'm a fire classic of that. And I said, they say they have visions about it. Let's read together, everybody. Start again. Taking his stand on visions he claims he has seen. Because it's a claim. Leave it. That are just claiming we saw. That's why, but if you read the Bible very well, you no longer be threatened by visions. Do you understand the point? See, I saw a vision. I'm not really threatened. Glory to God. People do meetings and they say, "Whoo, an angel of God is in this place. Let's all bow down." Are you mad? Revelation 22 verse 8. Revelation 22 verse 8. Because these things have to be well taught. Revelation 22 and verse 8. Glory to God. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant. Go back there. And of thy brethren, so I'm of thy brethren the prophet. So I am a servant of you and your brethren the prophet. Put up like another of that verse. New Living Translation. He said to me, no, don't worship me. I'm a servant of God, just like you and your brothers the prophets, as well as who obey what is written in this book. Worship only God. Put up like Amplified Classic. But he said unto me, refrain. You must not do that. I am only a fellow servant, along with yourself and with your brethren. So the same way we serve God, the angel is saying, telling this guy, I answer to God. The same way you answer to God. You don't answer to me. I get the point. So you don't ever do that. You don't ever worship angels. You don't ever pray to angels. You don't ever take, exalt angels above. Let me say this to you. I didn't plan this in my notes, but let me just say it. If I teach, now this thing may look heretical to you, but I'm going to say it, you'll grow to understand. If I teach you something by the written word, proper exegesis and explain things to you, and you can see it line upon line, precept upon precept, and we do the study and see the truth in God's word, and an angel appears to you to show you something else, take what I said. You know what I'm saying? It's not because I'm believing angels. We've all seen that angels are powerful and all of that. But not once in the Bible did angels teach anybody doctrine. Not once. When Cornelius was praying, he wanted to get born again. He didn't know how to get born again. He was just doing alms. An angel appeared to him. Instead of preaching salvation to him, the angel said, send for Peter. Because it's not in their jurisdiction to get anybody born again. I will still show you, how that they play a role in salvation. But not by preaching. This statement I made now may look heretical to you. This guy is claiming to me, how do you mean if you say something, angel says something, we should take what you said and what the angel said? Who do you even think you are? Well, I'm not the first one to make that statement. Paul was. Galatians 1 verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ. Unto another gospel, verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That word in the Greek is anathema. It means stay away from the person. Stay away from him. And in verse 9, he repeated it. And we said before, as we said before, so I say again, if any man preach any other gospel to you, other than what you've received, let him be accursed. So verse 8 said, even if an angel, not a fallen angel, even an angel from heaven. So I show you in the Bible that actually God loves all men. God accepts people. When you are born again, you are going to go to heaven. That's the qualification. And you tell me that in a dream, you say a dream where an angel took you to hell and showed you people wearing earring in hell. Discard what you saw. Half of the time is your mind playing games on you. It's what you believe on the natural that is actually showing forth in that you call vision. Amen. I understand what I'm talking about. That's why, again, this is another good time to exalt the authority of the written word above visions. You know what I'm saying? The authority of the written word. I believe that angels attend to me because the written word said they attend to me. Not even because an angel told me I'm here to attend to you. You know what I'm saying? It is the authority of the written word. And so please stay away from angelic worship. Because I know yesterday we said a lot of things about how powerful angels are. You notice even John the Beloved, as knowledgeable as he was, even fell down to worship an angel. Because the might they are created with. Are you know what I'm talking about? Who has ever seen, had any angelic vision here? Anybody? Just your understanding. Yeah. If you come in place of an angel, your knee will shake. Trust me. It only takes knowledge for you to keep standing. These are when they come, you know that somebody came in. One man said he saw an angel. So, have you read this book, Angels on Assignment? Angels on Assignment. You see an angel, you can get it. It's a good book to read on angels. It's a good book. It's a story book. Some people that don't like reading, you enjoy that one. It's your story. About visions that he had. Sometimes you see an angel, one came in, very, very tall. He couldn't see his face. He was looking up the guy. He was wondering, how did this guy enter this my room? Because looking up, you can see, you can imagine, in the presence of that kind of being, with everything that created with, even you will try to bow. Glory to God.
But please be careful. We don't pray to angels. We don't worship angels. Amen. We test angelic revelations even by the written word. Are you still here? So, in describing the ministry of angels to the believer, you must understand where their boundaries are and what their boundaries are. And that's why some people try to sound a lot very spiritual. This thing I'm teaching you now, nobody taught me. I was in my room praying. An angel appeared and was teaching and I was writing. You should be suspected. We should suspect you. Amen. And in all of those things, they're all trying to discredit the role that men have played in their lives. You know, digression now. Bitterness is a terrible thing. When you are bitter against someone, you can even thank Pastor Izu for what Minister Angel did for you. Just because you don't want to acknowledge that Minister Angel did it. I get what I'm saying? These people that say this like, you know, I want to celebrate. Also, I see some people actually on Facebook and celebrate this man that taught me everything I know. He has known that man for like 6 months or 1 year. But there is a man that has been following for like 12 years, but he will never acknowledge the person. He would rather say that the person he met yesterday taught him everything, or say that he was studying the written word and it opened up to me. That I was studying, I saw. You saw what? Your ability to see. You know, I've taught you what teaching is. Your ability to see. Someone gave you a lens with which you are seeing. Are you aware of what I'm saying? That you can even study the Bible and see grace. Some people will rather say, I read so book. You know, it's bitterness and pride that will make you honor Kenneth Hagin more than your pastor. Because you cannot see Kenneth Hagin. Do you know what I'm saying? So people that talk like that are just proud. If they don't know who to blame, who to praise, they praise an angel. So an angel appeared to me and showed me things. And showed me things. One of the greatest men that had visions, for instance, was Kenneth E. Hagin. But he said whenever he wakes up, he will carry those things and submit. There were some theologians around Kenneth E. Hagin. Some great theologians that were around him. One of the men that was a very great influence on Kenneth Hagin's life, if you read his book, is P.C. Nelson. You see, he calls him Dad Nelson. One of the greatest guys. Now, these human beings, Abi, not angels. I get the point. Celebrate people that God used to help you. You get the point? If someone teaches you Bible, say the person taught me Bible. Don't say an angel showed you nothing. Do you understand? Because one day I'm going to ask you to describe that angel that showed you that and draw him, let us see him. All an attempt, and actually preachers do this a lot. Let me say this to you. The fact, I don't know why I'm saying what I'm saying. The fact that you've fallen out with someone cannot undo what the person did in your life. See, I'm telling you, the fact that you've fallen out with someone, if I taught you that 1 + 1 = 2, and after some time we quarrel, after 30 years, you see, it doesn't change the fact that you learned 1 + 1 = 2 from me. Forever. Even if someone begins to teach you for the person taught you for that mass, I'm not that taught you the simple mass, and you're able to learn for that mass, because you learned mass. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And in all these terrible statements, like God would have used anybody, is the most foolish statement on earth. Someone dash you money. And it's time to celebrate the person. You say, forget all those things. God would have used anybody. If he didn't do it, God would have used another person. Why didn't God use another person for you? It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. The person that God used is the person that God used. God would have used anybody. What if the person did not respond? That's one terrible thing people make. Say, forget that thing. You help me, I should not start crying. I should worship you. God would have used anybody. Nobody says you should worship anybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why don't you say to your parents, God, that anybody would have given birth to me if you didn't give birth to me? Let me even announce you. If your parents didn't give birth to you, no other person would have given birth to you. Are you aware? It'd be the knowledge of biology alone. Be grateful that your father and mother got married, if not, you wouldn't have existed. Because even if the sperm meets another egg, it's not you that will come out. So, thank God your father and mother married. That already tells you, for instance, no matter how imperfect your parents are, there is an honor that you must give to them. Because there is something they are in your life that nobody can ever be. Even if the person is anything, can never be that thing. Your father, nobody else can be your father in this world. Biologically, it's not possible. And that's actually why you celebrate. You know, I'm saying this because I don't know why God is pushing me this, but I'll just flow with it. I'm saying this because I came out from a foundation. Some of you that know me, the foundation of my Christian life or ministry was full of battles. Battles and oppositions from people that I respected. Terrible things. Like, I mean, some of you that know the story, terrible things we are said. Terrible things we are done. Do you know that some of the people I tell you their stories in this church that trained us, some of them don't talk to me. And some of them, apart from recently, because I had to go meet all of them. Yes. But it doesn't change the fact that some of those guys that trained me, for instance, my foundation in prayer, the guys that gave us all the foundation, they turned against us, they fought us, they did many, many things. But it doesn't erase the fact that they did what they did when they did it. And God used them. I get the point. Yeah. Some of them actually began to hate heavily. Yeah. Man, it was very bad. But it doesn't change anything. Because there are people in your life that if you did not meet them when you met them, you wouldn't be, you don't be where you are now. There are people like that in your life. You see that lady I call my leader? If I didn't meet that lady when I met her, there will be no me now. And it's free to say, well, if she wasn't there, God would have used anybody. God would have used any other person. Because to start, I would not listen to any other person. But I can tell you, I just listened to that lady because her credential was strong spiritually. By the time she told us, she raised the dead. And I know the person. She raised the cripple, and I know the person. I became humble. I was a very proud boy. Do you understand? So I just calmed down. There's no other person God would have, and that privilege you honor it. Let's even assume God would have used anybody. How am I sure I would have met that person in that SS2 when I met that lady? It would have been maybe in my final year, I will start my Christian journey for the first time. I know what I'm talking about here now. Because we want to celebrate angels. We want to say, it's an angel that showed me this. What of human beings that showed you what? Amen. This is a good day to celebrate people. Not just Pastor Henry now that is teaching you. But then some people that played some seemingly significant roles in your life in the beginning of your Christian journey. There are people like that. Do you have people like that? The person that taught you in children ministry. I said you must submit your quiet time book to him every day. Did they do that kind of thing to you? Every day you must submit your daily power. You know daily power now. Your daily power notes. They may not even like you now because you're wearing trousers. You know what I'm talking about now. They might not even send you. But don't ever be carry that kind of mind. Is if God did not use them, I would have met Pastor Henry. Maybe not. Maybe by the time you would have met Pastor Henry, you would not even like Pastor Henry. There were seeds that they sowed inside of you. Then how many people have you met Pastor Henry? Say, wow, I get what he's saying. He's resonating. Nothing would have resonated at all if they didn't sow those seeds inside of your heart. I know what I'm talking about. Very holy digression this afternoon. But you need it. So don't just be kind, because people they rather celebrate spirits than celebrate human beings. If they celebrate a human being, they will not celebrate a person that has died. So I want to thank God for F.F. Bosworth. His book on Christ the Healer changed my life. Really? When did you have the opportunity to sit in a healing meeting and watch somebody heal the sick? Was it F.F. Bosworth that healed the sick? You read a few things in books. You can't tell me, for instance, that what you read in about 200 pages changed your life compared to a person you are listening to for like 1, 2, 3 years of your life. You're just an ungrateful person. But you know the truth? When we meet Jesus, God knows who did what. The judgment of Christ will be a very beautiful place. Because some people that will be celebrating, Pastor Chidi is my spiritual father. When we get there, God will reward Pastor Casey for the work he did in their life. You know, imagine God just said this, I want to reward Pastor Casey for working in this sister's life. And that sister said, no, sir, it's not Pastor Casey, it's Pastor Chidi. God knows. I get what I'm saying. God knows. That's why, I don't know why God pushed me to that, but many people that claim, because I see ministers that do that, that claim angelic visitation, angelic whatever, angelic tutelage, like an angel touch them and what have you. Those guys are doing that in an attempt to not celebrate and honor the real people that God is using for them. The real people. I feel like saying to someone, in the plan of God, in the plan of God for people that he will send to you, this thing will come up again in this series. I just feel like God is just pushing it in my heart now. In the plan of God that, in the plan of God as per men he will send to you, you are not actually a factor. He doesn't consider your emotions. You don't have to like the person. He just does what he wants to do the way he wants to do it. You know, early in my life as a person, I'm not a tribalistic person. I am not a tribalistic person. Say amen. But at the time, I began to look at the Yoruba race. I'm saying this because we're a multi-tribalistic church and the Yoruba guys following me this morning. I'm saying this for a reason. One guy, Yoruba, said, this we used to do somehow. I never felt about any tribe. These Hausa people, this is what they used to do. I don't like them. And some Yoruba people say, Omo Igbo, those people. And all those things you are just in my head when I pray to the Lord. Father, who will you send me to follow? He said, Reverend Peter Labi. I say, Lord, is it Peter Abo? You're not a fact. What you like or what you don't like does not really matter. You get the point? You can pray, Father, who should I follow? He says, he's a man. He says, sir, I'm 10 years older than that man. He says, yes. Imagine Peter following Jesus. Peter was way older than Jesus. No, yesterday was Bishop Edeko's birthday. And yesterday I was thinking about it. Dawned on me. And Pastor Dabo said that yesterday when he was talking. The fact that Bishop Edeko, got born again before Pastor Dabo. But God told Bishop to follow Pastor Dabo. Are you what I'm saying now? He got born again before him. Say amen. So you're not, God doesn't send you, you know. He just does what he wants. So that you got to celebrate those people. God told him, go submit to my servant, Pastor Deboy. And he went there, and he's been like that all the while till now. Bishop will tell you about how he was, you know, the year 90, whatever, in an 18-hour-long vision. I got the liberation mandate. All of those visions will never stop you or stop him from celebrating the men that played all those roles. You see, Pastor Deboye is Archbishop Idahosa. Loyalty. Say loyalty. 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 Mama was there yesterday. That's Archbishop Margaret Idahosa. And when she was talking, she stood by, looked at him and said, he said, since Archbishop passed on, say nobody, he said, there is no battle I've ever gone through a ministry that you are not standing by me. In Delhi, Archbishop Pastor, Bishop Oyedepo placed all the staff in Church of God Mission on salary to make sure that the ministry does not struggle. I know what I'm talking about. Placed all of them on salary. Now, that is standing by a mentor that has passed on. By a mentor that has passed on. So while we are celebrating angels for what they did for us, some are celebrating real human beings for what they did for them. There is a major convention they plan in that ministry. I think it's Bishop that sponsors it every year till now. Every dime in the convention. Every time. Just like Zoe now. So it is every year. Rise where Abuja is sent to me. Glory to God. Amen. And I'm saying this because we can all have our spiritual experiences, but it doesn't change the place of men in our lives. Because with all the things that angels do for us, they can never replace the place of men in our lives. The vision of Cornelius did not stop Peter from going to his house to help him. The vision of Saul did not stop Ananias from coming to play the role in his life. Is somebody following me this afternoon now? That's why you must understand the place of men in your life. The place of people that God has placed in your life, must understand their place. So don't be carried away by celebrating visions, encounters. Say, my life changed after a 15 hours encounter. You began to what? How did you even know what encounter is? How did you even know how to have encounter? Say amen. That's why when you see me, I'm big on celebrating people. I'm big on honor. I'm big on loyalty. And you know, some people think, oh, pastors preach all this honor and loyalty thing because they want to control people. They want to manipulate people. Well, that's not true. It would have been control and manipulation if the person teaching you those things is not living out those things. Are you what I'm talking about? I live honorably. I live and it's always like that. I can tell you, by God's grace, in terms of ministry spread, influence, and maybe money, I've gone some steps ahead of almost all the people that mentored me early in my Christian life. Almost all of them. Yes. I've gone ministry spread, all of that. I've gone, but it doesn't change anything. Are you what I'm saying? Have I had encounters? Have I seen angels? Well, if I tell you my story, Yusuf, we know that you've not had anything. But there are people that God puts in your life and you can't replace them. Not even with angelic beings. Glory to God. Are we grateful to God for the gift of men? It's one of the greatest blessings that we can have. So what led me to that is trying to show you that we don't worship angels. Amen. Open all of this. We don't worship angels. Amen. Glory to God. In fact, I will show you further that believers are not only over angels now. Believers will even judge angels. Are you aware of that? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 3. So that you know. Say, know you not that we shall judge angels. So Paul was trying to tell them, how come you guys are having issues among yourselves and you're taking it to people, taking it to unbelievers? Whereas believers, it is believers like you and I, we will sit and judge angelic beings. People have given a lot of interpretation to this verse. Some people say that it means that in the world to come, we'll be over angels just like we're over them now. Some people say, well, it means that in the time to come, we will, you know, maybe sit in judgment over fallen angels and all of that. Our end point is that believers will be above angelic beings. And so, we do not take lectures from angels. Are you what I'm talking about here? Yeah? Are you following me? And I think that's why God is bringing this teaching and all of this on honor this afternoon, which is not even in my notes at all. Because if, look at this now, I've been teaching for how many days now? This is the seventh day. And we have 23 more days to go. You understand? There is every tendency to not take serious who you see every day. Pastors are always around. Imagine it's an angel that appears here. For instance, you are getting blessed. So I love pastors teaching me very well. If tomorrow in service, I did not come, and then an angel appears here and begins to teach you. See, how was service? It was supernatural. Why? An angel came to teach us live in service. Amen. What you don't know is that you just got exposed to familiar spirits because you are taking notes from an angel who crossed his boundaries. Because angels are not teachers. Are you following me today? Somebody shout amen. Amen. Shout it again. Amen. Shout it again. Amen. So we're going to judge angels. So much as we celebrate the ministry of angels, we must not, two things, we must not worship them, and we must not ignore the ministry of men. Because forever, men will always be above angels. Men will always be above angels. Men will always be above angels. Because some people are waiting for an angelic touch to get healed. But they are living with a healing minister in the same room. But they are not healed. They don't even know that for that angel to even act, that angel will take instructions from that healing minister to take any step. Amen. So we celebrate, we engage and all of that, the ministry of angels, but please, never to be worshipped. Never to be worshipped. Worship God alone. Worship Jesus alone. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So you don't bow, you don't do any of those things. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is that it's not that you don't actually appear as spiritual to me in ministry. When you wake up and say things like, what I'm sharing with you, nobody taught me, and I just taught me alone in my room, you are an ungrateful person. Either an ungrateful person, or you're a liar, or you are working with familiar spirits. Choose one. Amen. Say, I've seen this because you've not had encounters. Well, maybe I've not had as much as you, but I've had small. Amen. I've had small, just small encounters. And just walk into my room. I've had all those encounters. Amen. And sing. Some of the songs I sing here, I hear angels literally sing in my room. But I don't share my experiences. I don't believe in all of that. Amen. Like literally sing, and then I just open my eyes and I begin to sing. So that song we sang, You've Given Your Word and all of that. I was praying, and while in my room, I heard that song singing. I didn't sit down to write it as per how you just preach a song. Singing in my room, actually. I just began to sing along. I just sang it once or twice. I just found out I was singing what I didn't know. So I opened my phone and began to record it. I literally heard angels singing in my room. Those things are there. So I'm not templating your encounters. But God has men. I get what I'm saying? And we must make sure we are not crossing our boundaries with angelic ministry and all of that. Are you blessed? Now, okay, so let's get back into the ministry of angels. So I'm showing you, they are not to be worshipped. They are not to be worshipped. Now, another thing you must know about angelic ministry in relation to the believer is that angels are involved, and this is one of the blessings we have. Angels are involved in answered prayers. They are involved in answered prayers. So we do not pray unto angels. But one of the ways through which God brings answers to our prayers is via the ministry of angels. So you see how this thing works. There's a problem. I pray to God. God will okay it. Then angels will get to work because they respond to the voice of God. So in Acts chapter 12, Peter was arrested. He was put in prison. Verse 5, prayers was made without ceasing to God for him. So they were praying unto God. You don't think of that? Are you following? They were praying to who? To God. Verse 6, what happened? And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison. So, they didn't pray to an angel, but when it was time for the prayer to be answered, it was angels that went to work. So angels are involved in answered prayers. Angels are involved, again I say, in answered prayers. And so there is actually no need to begin to pray to angels and begin to call their names. But when we pray to God, one of the ways God intervenes is that He sends angelic beings. So that angel broke into that prison and opened it. And I can show you this with every other prayer that you pray. Apart from maybe prayers for revelation, I have light, all those spiritual needs and all of that. We need revelation. But when it has to do with moving physical things, finance, protection, all of those things, angels get to work. So when you pray, angels are, one of the reasons we have angels around us is that they get involved in answered prayers. I know what I'm talking about. They get involved. So this is again why we must pray. Because you will learn that if you do not pray, your angels will do nothing. Do you understand the point? Do you notice that? Go to verse 1. Go to verse 1 of Acts 12. Go to verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he prayed for them to take Peter. So he killed James. James was a man of God, but the church did not pray for James, so angels did not intervene. So when he saw that, this church like this, so he went for Peter too. The church now began to pray. Angels now went to work. So where were the angels when James was being killed? They were there. But they have not received an instruction via prayer to get to work. Again, it emphasizes the importance of prayer. Are you following what I'm saying? So angels, I'm showing you in the Bible, they are involved in answered prayers. Almost all kinds of prayers, you'll find angels get involved. Almost all kinds of prayers. They're also involved, I'll say two more things, I'll close today. They're also involved in the fulfillment of prophetic words. And somebody needs to hear what I'm going to say now. One of the major agencies, one of the major factors, okay, in fulfillment of prophetic words is the ministry of angels. When angels, when there is a word that God has given you, and you begin to pray, one of the agencies through which God will make that word come to pass is angel, is angelic ministry. In 2 Kings, I'll give you one example. 2 Kings 7 verse 1. Because again, you know that prophetic words being fulfilled is in the realm of man. Amen. Well, I'm coming to tell, let me show you. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel." Powerful word. Just like somebody giving a prophetic word now. Tomorrow about this time, fuel shall sell for 25 naira. Very ridiculous prophetic word that this guy gave. Say, a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" So even if God like let him open heaven and let rain be, he said, it's not possible. It's not possible. Amen. It's not today that doubt has begun to exist. But just mind the kind of prophets you doubt. Elisha is not such a man. You get the point? He said, it's not possible. And he said to him, "Behold, thou shalt see to the eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof." I don't think it's God that told him that part. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't think it's God, but then I'm talking just like Gabriel saying, I'm telling you, Zechariah, that you're going to have a child. I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of the Lord. From now, you shall be mute. So he gave this prophetic word. Now watch how it happened. And there were four leprous men at the entry in of the gates. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? Look how the prophetic word was fulfilled. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. If we sit here, we will die also. Now therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall die." So they said, "Well, all die and I die. If we start the city gate, we will die. If we enter the city, we will die. Let's just go and meet them. If they spare us, they give us food to eat. If they don't spare us, they will kill us. We would have still died all the same by hunger." And they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the utmost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. That was angelic ministry. So somehow the Lord opened their ears. They began to hear the movement of angels. So when they heard that sound, they ran away. That's how that word got fulfilled. So the lepers entered the camp and saw food everywhere. And ate and ate and ate. And then I told them, says, we're not good people. How can we be eating like this? Other two people in the city are not eating. Then I went to this and announced, there is food in Syrian camp. Everyone now began to rush there. That Lord that Elisha gave that word to was not trying to say, Order, order. They marched him to death. But notice how that word came to pass. Angels went. Then those guys began to walk to the Syrian camp. They began to hear the noise of chariots, the noise of horses. And I've shown you, and I'll still show you today, angels are called the host. They are called the chariots of the Lord. They are called the Lord's host. When we call the Lord, we call him the Lord of hosts. We are referring to the Lord of the angelic host, the host of the army of angels. So you notice, for that word to be fulfilled, angels had to be deployed. Because Elisha's word had come forth. Angels had to walk. So angels play a role when the prophetic words are given. Amen. By the time we are done with this, you'll find out why you pray when we give you prophetic words. You know what I'm saying? You find out why you keep speaking, because you have to engage that angelic ministry, because most of those prophetic words is angels that will move things around. Are you see here? In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1, let me give another example. Daniel 9 and verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting. So he saw that there was a prophetic word hanging over Israel which was not coming to pass. Prophetic word was that at 70th year, Israel will be set free from Babylon. Jeremiah gave that prophetic word. And now they were already in the 70th year, nothing was happening. Nobody was talking about setting them free. Nobody was talking about freedom. And then he began to pray. Amen. Are you still here? Go to chapter 10, verse 1. He prayed, fasted. Chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing I had understood of the vision. Verse 2, watch. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. He was fasting for 3 weeks, 21 days. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, and I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, and then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins. So an angel came to walk immediately. So angels appeared to him. His body, he began to describe his body. Go to verse 11. Go to verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he has spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. I told the angels are terrifying beings. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and chase before the Lord, thy words were heard. I am come for thy words. So he was actually the one that was sent to come and assist Daniel as he began to pray. To do what? To ensure that those words that Jeremiah spoke will come to pass. So I'm trying to show you, every time prophetic words are given, you always find angelic ministry around, trying to make sure that those words come. That was what I was showing you yesterday. When it was time for Jesus to be born, you know, it was prophets that was about to be fulfilled then. An angel was the one that went to tell Mary, you will carry a child. An angel was the one that went to announce he has been born. So you notice, in the fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy, and on his way to the cross to fulfill that prophecy, right? Angels were just around, making sure those words came to pass. Is someone following me this morning, this afternoon? So, in fulfillment of the prophetic words, angels play a role. Now, this is where I actually wanted to see what I'm saying. So, we've given a prophecy now. By that, between now and December, somebody is going to break into stupendous wealth. And you claim and you receive it. Now, that money is not going to fall from heaven. Now, many things could happen. Someone could dash you that money. Someone could patronize your business. Someone could give you a contract. All of those can happen. What will convince that person to give you that contract? What will make that person come buy from you? So, immediately you begin to engage that prophetic word, an angel goes out from the room and begins to pressurize that person. So, they must make... Now, that person possibly had wanted to give that contract to someone else. That angel can do anything. He can do anything. He can make the other person lose interest in the contract. Are you know what I'm talking about here? He can make the other person say, I don't want it again. Glory to God. He can make an MD of a company. Don't you think we need a new office? Now, what is the angel doing? The angel is working to make sure that that word has gone forth. That's why by the time we talk about engaging angelic ministry, prayer and all of that, you find out why you don't stop praying when words go forth. Because once you stop engaging, stop praying, what happens is, if you stop instructing the angels, they stop working. When they stop working, those prophetic words will fail. Because the man or the being or the agent that was supposed to make sure that they came to pass, you've told the person to stop. That's why by tomorrow, I thought I was going to get to that today. But tomorrow I will show you even how to hinder angelic ministry. Maybe tomorrow or Monday. How to hinder. Because there are things you do when things happen and you hinder. Angels will be there, but you hinder their ministry. They won't work. They play major roles in female prophetic words. Even about church. God is telling this church, you shall grow in the next 5 months. This place, 1,000 people are going to come. Angels will play a role in that. You will now see as you are praying and all of that, God begins to tell me, I've seen a lot of things happen. Angels can do publicity too for program. They can. They can bring in funds just to make sure that word comes to pass. So you see, when we say angels are walking around all this, one of the things they are listening to and are waiting for are the things that God has said to you so that they can run off to go and make sure they come to pass. Are you following what I'm talking about this afternoon? The things, the promises, all those things God has said, I'm going to do this. They want to get so they can say, okay, well, let's act on it. Let's act on it. Let's act on it. It's just like that. Look at the picture I want to paint for you. Maybe the governor meets you and says, oh, I like you a lot. I'm going to give you a plot of land around this new estate you are developing. And he now tells his commission or one of the boys, see to that. You know that's how it works, right? So the person is now running up and down, doing the papers. It's no longer the governor doing anything. He has given the orders. Are you know what I'm talking about? Now, that's how it is. When God gives those orders, angels go up and down, putting things, arranging things, dismantling things, erecting things to make sure that everything that has been said will come to pass. I've seen this happen in some very amazing ways. And when I've just known that, angels came to work here. Angels came to work here. Even as simple as the Lord tells you you're going to get married or you're praying for a life partner. Okay? Now, sometimes you're praying for a life partner and the life partner, in quotes, is around you. But you've not noticed him. You don't even send them. You don't even talk to him or her. Somehow, you don't even like that person. Now, look at what I'm going to show you. You know, like or hate for people is a function of the information you have about them. You know what I'm saying? How many of you, before you met me physically, you didn't like me at all? Let me see, on anybody, raise your hand, if you lie, you go to hellfire. Yeah. Then, why did you like me? Maybe somebody said something. Or maybe nobody even said anything. The way, when you see me pass, that guy's always frowning his face. I don't like him. Now, you don't know whether I've not eaten. Because half of the time, it was hunger. He's always frowning. Why is he always frowning? Now, you now come close. Say, I didn't know you are like this. Now, one of the things an angel will make sure is that he will orchestrate a situation that will bring both of you together so that you can have an experience of that person or even at least get the person's number. So that from there, we take off to the permanent site. So I'm talking about the angels playing a role in fulfilling prophecies. They can arrange situations. And when we say things like in prayers, we arrange situations. This is actually what we mean. But we'll begin to pray. An angel can arrange, make this person come down from the east. Make this other person travel down from the west. So that both of them can meet. I'm telling you. Angels arrange meetings. They arrange meetings. Do you realize for Peter, I'm coming to that very shortly, for Peter to be able to meet Cornelius, an angel appeared to Cornelius, an unbeliever, to come put it in his heart to come meet Peter. So when we talk about prophetic words, that's why when we give a prophetic word, you better start praying. Because you see that one of those angelic ministries is by your words. You better start praying, better start declaring. You are doing that not because you want to convince God to do anything. As you are speaking and as you are praying and engaging, you are engaging angels to begin to work for you. And make sure that that word does not fail. Amen. So prophetic words are fulfilled. And one major factor that plays a role in that is angelic ministry. Some of you are going to get help because you will see why some things that God says to you, it looks like you wait, you don't see them. Because actually you are not engaging. You are not, and God has given his word. But you are not engaging this ministry spirit that should run around to get that thing done. How do you engage them? I'll talk about that more tomorrow and next. It's still by your words. Still by your words. I will say more about that tomorrow. You see that Daniel 10 verse 12? He said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst said thy heart to understand, and Jesus said before thy God, what did he say? Thy words, talk to me, thy words were heard. What's the last phrase there? I am come for thy words. So I came here because of what you are saying. So why were angels not working all the while that Jeremiah gave that prophecy? Nobody was engaging. Are you what I'm talking about? Daniel did not meet Jeremiah. You don't know what I'm talking about. The prophecy he was praying about was given years ago before he was born. So he just stumbled into the book of Jeremiah. That's why he said in verse 1 of chapter 9, I understood by the books. He opened the Bible and was studying the scrolls one day. And so, this is what Prophet Jeremiah said many years ago before I was born. Then he went to work. Amen. I understood verse 2. By books. So it wasn't like Jeremiah called him and said, look at what the Lord said. He read a book. And saw a prophetic word in a book. So that prophecy has been lying there for hundreds of years. Nobody dared engage. Are you what I'm talking about here? But in the least, somebody began to engage. The angels went to work. So it looked like an angel has been sitting around a prophetic word saying, are you guys not interested in this word? You don't want to come out. You guys want to remain in captivity. Are you what I'm talking about? And then he began to pray. And an angel went to work immediately. That angel had to combat the prince of Persia for 21 days. 21 whole days. And I've explained to you this prince of Persia thing. Now, the prince of Persia, because, you know, Persia, the Babylonian Empire is actually called Persia. Now, people say it's a spiritual, I believe it's a spiritual reality, it's a spiritual battle that we're fighting. But you know, there was also something going on in the physical. Because actually, the Israelites were under the captivity of the Persian Empire. So, when you say he was combating the prince of Persia, there were spirits that were playing games in the hearts of those princes to keep Israel bound in that captivity. So while they were combating in the spirit, I can almost tell in the physical meetings you are holding. Who's God I'm talking about here? That's what we mean. So they called meeting for the first day. I think we should set the Jews free. Somebody said, it's not possible. It's not possible. Many things happening in the physical are battles in the spirit. Oh, I got it. It's not possible. We can't let them go. Why should we let them go? What have they done? Imagine letting them go. Meeting closes for that day. Daniel just stayed praying. So I'm showing you something is happening in three different places. Daniel is here. Shakarabo, Rebetelege, Rabata. In the spirit, angel and demon, prince of Persia, are combating. In the physical, meetings are holding. Are you what I'm talking about? Let's set them free. Why should we set them free? I don't think it makes any sense. Let's face facts. We know, and the meeting closes. The 21 days battles were going on. Possibly the king went to sleep, the prince in the physical went to sleep that day. And you say a dream. Say, why did we set these guys free? He said, when I say a dream, they were having meetings, 21 days of combat. That's why sometimes when you're praying for a job, there is combat taking place. In the physical, that holding meeting in the office, MD is trying to tell the manager, don't you think we need to create a new office? And that demon that is against your progress has gone inside of the manager to say, there is no need for a new office in this place. I get what I'm saying? So, no, there's no need. Let's face facts. We can save costs. The receptionist can double as a secretary and double as a cleaner. That way, we are able to pay him $150,000 instead of paying a receptionist, a cleaner, and a secretary $100,000. We save $150,000. It makes all the sense, right? The manager says, the CEO says, wow, that's a thoughtful way of thinking. I never saw it like that. And he goes home and you go back that night again. He says, tomorrow, let's reconvene again. This time, another person, another brethren, I said, you know, I was thinking, we need, you know, this, there's need for order. They bring up that matter again. It will keep coming up until one day. The CEO says, let's employ. You've triumphed. But that time in the spirit, you are saying, in the physical, you are saying, nothing is working. You get the point? All the world that Papa gave us has started the fire. All the wars, the years, they didn't see nothing. There is combat. Amen. So as you stay in the physical doing something, there is a prince of Persia in the spirit. There is angel Michael in the spirit. And there are princes that rule the Persian kingdom in the physical. All of them are involved. So these evil spirits are working in the hearts of this guy. Saying, no, don't set the Jews free. Daniel stayed for 21 days. Look at that. He said, the prince of Persia withstood me. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. See, it wasn't even Michael that was sent for this assignment. But when the battle became too much for the other angel, Michael showed up. God will do anything to get to you. Yeah, he will do anything to get to the fulfillment. You see, one of the chief princes came to help me. And I remain there with the kings of Persia. Put up like NLT of this verse. Oh, glory to God. New Living Translation. For 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. And I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. So he left Michael there to keep fighting. I kept doing what he was doing. You know, prayer is that powerful in the spirit. So Daniel's prayer moved Michael from his place. That archangel, he came down. That is matter on ground. That is a matter on ground. That's why you don't joke with prayers. When you get words from God, you get prophetic words. And I'm going to close with something. I thought I would have closed. The Lord said I should talk about that for today. When you get words, even words concerning ministry, pray. I want to close with letting you know that angels also play a role in ministry. They play a role actually in evangelistic activities. If you understand the ministry of angels, they play a role in evangelistic work. They play a role in souls getting saved. An angel cannot preach to a soul to get saved. An angel cannot even talk to a soul about salvation. But there are roles they play. An example I've already showed you is Acts chapter 10. Cornelius was praying. And the angel told him, send for Peter. So what made it possible for Peter to be able to win the house of Cornelius? An angel went. So imagine if Peter had carried his Bible. Remember, and I heard the Lord say to me now, doors are opening. Ministry doors. Ministry doors. I just said that in the spirit. Remember, Cornelius was a great man. I mean, put up verse 1. Very powerful man. Very powerful man. He was a Roman army officer. He was a centurion. You know what a centurion means? Do you know what a centurion means? Do you know what century means? What is century? So he was in charge of at least 100 soldiers. He was a great man, a rich man. A centurion of the Italian, of a band called the Italian band. Was a soldier. So you're talking about maybe a general here. Or a colonel, very rich man. How would Peter have approached a fisherman? How would they have approached a general to preach to him? Have you ever seen a general before? How can you even get to him to preach to him? There was no way Peter would have reached that man. But an angel went to pave the way. He said, send for Peter. That's why I said, doors are opening. Some places, some people that normally you couldn't enter with your legs to go and preach. An angel will go ahead of you and create an opening and you'll get in there and preach. Some of you will preach in government houses. Some of you will preach in some institutions that you never thought the door will open. An angel will move ahead of you to tell them, tell that guy to come and preach. tell him to come and preach. I saw God, I saw angelic ministry intervene when I was just a president. I preached to the school authorities. I don't like calling names. The school authorities, the guys in charge. Would I have seen VC or DVC on the way to stop to say, let me talk to you, Jesus loves you? Where will I start from? It was an angel that made that opening. You get the point? An angel made to go and call Peter. So see the way they welcomed Peter like a king. By the time Peter was arriving, I said all his household were seated. So there is help in ministry. All I'm saying is, as you step on the streets to go and preach, an angel can go ahead of you to go convince somebody about to talk to. Listen to this guy. And you come, because everybody is afraid of that, he will beat you up. You just come and say, you are welcome. Something has played out in his heart. Oh, glory to God. That's why I want to say this by the Holy Ghost. As you go for evangelism, never ignore, thank you Holy Ghost, never ignore any prompting from the Spirit to talk to anybody. Because most times when God points to that person, that's the heart he has prepared. That's the heart he has prepared. Because angels go ahead of us in evangelism. Right? You know, I can show you that again in the Bible. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, after Philip finished his work in Samaria and he left, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise. Now, this time, an angel spoke to Philip, not even the man to be saved. So he was leading him to meet a man that was ready for salvation. Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and you know of great authority. Again, we see a great man, a rich man, that normally, ordinary Philip cannot stand to talk to him. But then, how was Philip able to assess this great man? Angelic ministry. An angel can pave way for you to meet people that normally they shouldn't attend to you at all. For ministry. Do you know an Ethiopian eunuch? Some of you don't understand what this means. An Ethiopian eunuch. Put up like an out of this. An Ethiopian eunuch. Read it to me, everybody. He started out. He met the treasurer of Ethiopia. A eunuch of great authority. Under the Kandak, the queen of Ethiopia. And the eunuch had gone to worship. Put up like Amplified Classic. He was head of the treasury. So he met the CBN governor of Ethiopia. Now, think of the convoy, the chariot he was moving with. Before that, Ethiopian Enoch, of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. Wealthy man. That normally, Philip, that's what I want to say to some of you. Stop being afraid of rich people if you want to preach the gospel. Yeah. If God leads you, go. God has made their hearts ready. If God leads you, go. And one of the things that will help you as a way of digressing is when you meet rich people that God has sent to preach to, stop expecting things of favor from them. I just put somebody into your head that don't do that. Because that's one of the things that hinders us from doing our ministry. The Lord prepares the soul for you to win. You get there and you're thinking, will he give me a job? Will he give me a connection? God can connect you to rich men for you to preach to them and they will not give you nothing. Philip finished preaching there, the Spirit of God took him away. He didn't get nothing, no one naira from him. I feel like I'm talking about everybody. Stop always thinking that when God brings me to one rich man and I preach to him, you know, what is now going to happen is I'll begin to give me things. Can that happen? Yes. Is that what you're expecting? No. Philip finished preaching, immediately he got baptized. The guy got baptized. The Spirit of the Lord took him immediately. These other times say, anything for the boys. Because is that anything for the boys' mindset? That's why we don't get many people saved. Because God opens doors for us, and then we think, this one, I'm sitting face to face with the senator. And that's why we miss some of those things. God orchestrates that for you to preach the gospel. You say, so I want to give you my CV. That's what every other person that meets them will say. There are meetings that God brings into your way, that brings your way, that is to help you, to favor you. But there are some times that God orchestrates meetings for you to be able to preach the gospel. So he got up and went and found that woman. See verse 28. Everybody please watch verse 28. And the Spirit of God. Go to verse 29. Come on, quickly, quickly, quickly. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go and join yourself to that chariot. You know, if you are reading Bible now, chariot is like the car they had then. Long chariots, think of the security men, all of that, moving with this guy on his way. And the Spirit of God said, go and join that chariot. Angels can plan things. And I'm praying for you that your ministry will begin to experience angelic interventions. Angelic interventions. We've enjoyed it a lot in this ministry. There are people that walk into this place, and some of you are like that. Say, why did you stay? I don't even know. How did you even come? I was just passing and I saw and I came. I get what I'm saying? Somebody told me this some time ago. How he came to church. He said somebody gave him a flyer. This second person, one of our brothers now that is here now, this was what he told. Gave him flyer, and he told the person, don't worry, I'm not coming. And kept that flyer. The first person told me he had a dream. From the dream, he heard clearly, look for Pastor Henry. He said he woke up and remembered that somebody gave him a flyer. He said he began to ransack his house looking for that particular flyer. I saw it. I know Pastor Henry. That's what brought him to church. Another person he had the same story. This one wasn't a dream now. After that, he began to look. Where is that flyer that somebody gave me? That's why we can do flyers. That's what we can do in the physical. But make sure you engage angelic ministry in your ministry. They will go further than flyers can go. So as you step out to go and preach the gospel, want to go and minister the gospel, there is angelic ministry that can assist you in ministry. May you enjoy it too. May you experience that angel. It will change the flow of your ministry. Because, and how would Philip have been able to meet this great man to preach the gospel to him? How would Peter have been able to meet, come on, that Cornelius, great man like that, rich, wealthy man, and then speak to him? Fisherman, didn't go to school, unlearned, illiterate, yet God opened the door through the ministry of an angel. That's why I talked about prophetic words, that even when God gives you prophetic words about your ministry, stay in prayer. It is through prayer to be fulfilled. All that God has said us about is the way. That's what we're praying already. That as we set up our billboards around town, people will be passing and something will tell them, look at that billboard. Snap it. Keep it on your phone. Set an alarm. I want you to go to that meeting. They don't even know. You hear it, people say this like, you know, I don't go to meetings. Do you know there was a case, as a brother in this church, he's not here today now. How he came to this church was, we are doing this last evening of answers. But it was shared flyers and all of that. He said that this man of God that told him one day, why not come and worship with us in church? Real life story. He said, and the man of God has hair. You know, he keeps his hair like this. So he told the guy, don't worry, one day I'm going to come. And that day one night he was walking along the road and saw a flyer on the floor, evening of answers. He picked it, main road. And so he said, this guy looks like that man of God. Let me just go and check if it is him. And he kept that flyer till that evening. He walked in here and said, it's not him actually. But let me just stay a little. He got saved. He stayed in church. How come he picked up flyer on the road? I get what I'm saying? That as soon as people tell me, I know that these are not just coincidences. I've learned to live beyond all those coincidences. It just happened. No. There are angels that are assigned to walk with me in ministry. Every God ordained ministry. There are angels that walk with you. God uses those angels to move things around. To confirm to people that he sent you. That's why you see me pray here. I say things like the angels that walk with me. Because I know there are angels that walk with me. The angels that are assigned to this ministry. Of this commission. They are an innumerable company. If I sell one of them to your house, they will move your business around. Yes, actually. They can begin to bring clients from far and near for you. they've helped a lot in the ministry. As you go preach, that's why you pray a lot when you want to go and preach. So that prayers will engage all those angelic ministry, and that are moving from place to place, certain people. That's why most times I'm scared by the Holy Ghost. You see something, God says, go preach to that person, and you say, will he listen to me? That prompting in your heart is because there's been a work that has gone ahead before you came. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 15 that when a sinner gets born again, that the angels in heaven rejoice. So they celebrate salvation. Because they are involved in the process of arranging things. That person you've been praying about. That's how people just come and they just be praying that person will get saved. Then he turns on his radio and begins to hear one preaching. Just get this from God is by the Holy Ghost now. If there's anybody, a sibling of yours, you've been praying that the person will be changed. The Lord says, I should say, do not give up on that person. Angels are walking. I just said that in the Holy Ghost. Angels are, it's like a sibling of yours. When I was telling my wife recently, and we're going to pray that prayer before we go, just that prayer now. Telling my wife recently, I observed that this thing called, every time I talk about internet fraud here, Yahoo and all of that, I'm observing that it has invaded almost every family. There's at least one or two persons, Swiss, putting, have you observed what I'm talking about? Almost every family. And I see some of you crying over your family, crying over your brothers, crying over your siblings, asking the Lord, when, let this one change. Today, I'm going to lead you in the next 5 to 10 minutes. If there's any brother, any sister of yours who has messed up his hands and you're trusting the Lord for salvation of that person, we are going to pray and raise high intercessions in this place, and angels will get to work. Some of them will stumble on tracts. They will stumble on preachers. They will stumble into church. Some of them will be carried into church drunk. They will drink and fall on the ground. Somebody will carry them into church. Some of them will even begin to have mental issues. And through those mental issues, they will be brought and they will be helped. You will see what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Now, is it that God will send mental issues to them? No. It's something the devil has already planned for them, waiting for them along the way. For God will use that stuff to pull them. Hope is not lost. I say hope is not lost. Your family will be saved. Your loved ones will be saved.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.